Our Falling Into Place series spotlights the important work of and fosters collaboration between not-for-profit organizations and our communities, allowing us all to fall into place. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress. This morning we focus on Joseph's House Shelter, and they are in Troy, New York. Kevin O'Connor is the executive director. He joins us once again. It's always a pleasure to welcome him to our microphones. Kevin, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Joe.
Wonderful to have you on the program. Let's talk about how things are going and what kind of year you're having and how you would declare this current state of homelessness that we're looking at as of December 2018.
Well, homelessness continues to grow in this region, certainly. Interestingly, nationwide, we've made some progress. The point in time count that we do annually to identify who's homeless and what the circumstances are, that showed that nationally, homelessness went down about 2%. That's not a great number. We're still talking about, on a daily basis, more than 500,000 men, women, and children who are homeless, 40% of which are families with children. So the numbers are still large. We've made decreases in veterans homelessness. We've made decreases in chronic homeless, those who are on the streets for 12 months or more. But the need is certainly there. And unfortunately, when you look at the statistics, well-populated states like New York actually had increases. In New York State, we had a 6% increase of homelessness. In our neck of the woods, in Joseph's House, as well as the Capital District, we also saw an increase about that amount. And there are a lot of factors that contribute to it. The biggest one is economic. The cost of housing continues to rise, and people's income doesn't.
When we say 6% statewide, that is also, but you're seeing that obviously
locally.
The city has that, and the cities, but Albany is one of the big five, so you would assume that translates.
We saw the largest number actually in what we're calling the Code Blue shelter, and that's an additional shelter in addition to our year-round shelters in the Capital District. Each county is responsible for providing emergency shelter for all who need it, regardless of the circumstances. When the temperature falls under 32 degrees, we saw a 16% increase just in that population last year.
So a couple of things. First of all, tell us what it is. I know last year you served 1,062 homeless or formerly homeless residents throughout all of your programs. So give us a sense of basically, in a nutshell, what it is that Joseph's House does.
We're primarily known for our homeless shelter. We serve nearly 900 of that number, that figure, that stay in our shelters, plural. We have a shelter for single adults. We have a shelter for families with children. We have a seasonal shelter called the Inn from the Cold. And we have the Code Blue shelter, which is weather-related when it gets particularly cold.
Which we've been dealing with. A lot more than we normally would in November.
We've had an earlier season already this year. Yeah, we had about 100. I'm recalling about 120 nights last year that fell below 32 degrees. So that was a lot of what really impacts that number is the consecutive days that it's cold. People tend to stay if they don't have any place to stay. They're living hard in abandoned cars in buildings, places not meant for habitation, public spaces. They come in code blue, no questions asked, and they stay. And the more days they stay, the more people actually come in. It's a really helpful thing for us because we also have a street outreach program. We have a street outreach in Troy, and this year we're running a street outreach program here in Albany County. And together we see nearly 600 people through the street outreach program. The Code Blue really helps us to engage people that we don't normally engage through our street outreach program. And once engaged, more people are more likely to stay in our shelter, more likely to get a positive outcome into housing.
I hate to put it this way, and I certainly don't mean it, but it's a way to just give a picture of what it is that you deal with, and that's the dollar and cents of it. So in that case, if it's a warm winter, then your dollars can go a little bit further in your day job, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're talking to all nonprofits, the dollars and cents are the issue, and the fewer people that are served, certainly the more cost effective it is. Our goal, however, is to provide non-judgmental services to end homelessness, and so we want to engage the most people as possible. We rely certainly on grants. About half of our income come from direct grants from the state, federal, county, city. Government, but we raise a significant amount of money, and it's interesting because this is the time of year that people think of the homeless when the season goes down. It was also a giving season.
Yep.
This past weekend we had our 36th annual winter walk to end homelessness, and it's a fascinating event because for the last 6 years we've been partnering with the Little Italy community, and Little Italy community has this annual posada. And what Posada is a representation of Joseph and Mary knocking on in taverns, and there's no room in the inn. They're passing the next door, and next door, and Joseph's house is the fourth door in that walk. And so we have Joseph and Mary, we have donkeys, we have sheep, we have a lot of children. we have Congressman Tonko comes every year as one of the innkeepers, as well as Troy Mayor Patton. It's an interesting event that really nobody can miss the symbolism of that. That this season is about welcoming the stranger, loving thy neighbor, and celebrating diversity, people that are different than us.
You, on that, you used a word a moment ago, non-judgmental. So what can you teach us as individuals in this community, as a society, as a culture, about how we can better ourselves when it comes to being non-judgmental to the people who are living on the streets of our communities?
Our agency is trying to push a counter-narrative, and the counter-narrative is people are homeless because of circumstances, not because of personal responsibility. Personal responsibility is a myth. In our economy, we are so interdependent. In our economy relies on workers who make minimum wage, who work part-time in retail and don't get full-time jobs and don't get benefits and don't get child care built in. About 25% of the single adults that we sheltered this year, and that's the highest percentage we've had of this category, have earned income. People who are working. They're working the trades. They're roofers. They're people who are working in service, primarily in service sector jobs, not making enough money. They're working part-time, not full-time, and they're not making enough money while the rents in our downtowns are going up and up and up and up and up. Since we opened in 1983, and since that, over that 35-year period, median rents, not only locally but also across the country, have increased fourfold. While income has remained relatively stagnant, anywhere to from 12 to 16%, depending on what income quadrant you're in. So it's a math problem, right? That people are homeless because of the cost of housing compared against their income. And so we want to point out that in this economy, and this that people have choices and that people make choices for themselves, and they can do better if they apply themselves. The reality is, however, that most of the people who are in our shelter didn't choose to become homeless because of substance abuse or mental illness. They ended up ringing our doorbell at 2 a.m. because they have nowhere else to stay. They can no longer afford their apartments.
You used the term counter narrative a moment ago, and I think that's important. Is there any shortage? You've been doing this a long time. Is there any shortage of empathy in our community?
I think it's an awareness. I think once people hear, and we encourage people to do volunteer work, we have more than 300 volunteers that help us out throughout the year in all sorts of capacities. Once you come into our shelter and tour the shelter and start doing work, serving meals, riding the van, doing ride-along with our street outreach program every night between 2 p.m. and 10 p.m., 365 nights a year, I think you'll meet people that'll surprise you. Their strengths and capacities and their resilience will impress you. And you will see and hear stories of circumstances that led somebody into homelessness more frequently than their mistakes.
And people you often know. Right. I mean,
it's a small community.
Yeah.
There are often people that we know. And so we have a whole protocol for our employees. When somebody they know rings the doorbell and asks for our services, the first thing they need to know is notify their supervisor. And the supervisor meets with the folks and lets them know that the prior relationship won't influence your current services here one way or the other. And that the person that you have a relationship with previously is a member of our team and needs to share a communication within our agency as it relates to the housing.
So I asked the question about empathy, and on the flip side to that, you are raising the dollars and cents. And certainly you can always use more. Every nonprofit can. And yet you have a wonderful outpouring, and there is certainly a great deal of empathy that comes from the community.
Yes, yeah. I mean, when people hear the story and see the story, there's empathy. It's a hard, and all nonprofit executive directors or directors raising funds will tell you right now, it's a challenging time. The government, we can no longer rely on government funding in the old days, and more percentage has to be raised privately. We're competing against each other. There's in the Northeast, particularly in the Capital District, is a great amount of quality of life improvement nonprofit services that are out there, and it's wonderful. But we sort of compete with each other. The other thing that's happening is we're trying to do our best. We have 63 employees. We have a lot of 24-hour programs, and each of those are staffed twice, and the math adds up very quickly. And so when we have a minimum wage going up to $11.10 in January, we have to respond and make sure our staff are getting quality of life living wages. So we have nearly a 7% increase in our budget next year, primarily due to our need to increase wages.
So let me ask a huge question in a short period of time in the minute and a half that we have left, which is, how do we make this better?
Well, we need more affordable housing.
Yeah.
Wages need to go up. We need also more permanent supported housing for those with disabilities. About 15% of the population that we serve are chronically homeless with severe mental health and substance abuse and other disabling conditions. Just giving them housing won't be enough. We need permanent supported housing as well. And we need our community to start thinking that people caused homelessness. Homelessness didn't exist when prior to Joseph's house existing. Now we have anywhere 4 million Americans who are homeless. And that is because we as a society have changed dramatically how we treat the poor, people with addiction, and people with disabilities. So we need to change that mentality and that these folks are an important part of our economy. We need to treat them better so that we can have a stable workforce to serve our communities.
You can find out more information about Joseph's House by going to josephshousetroy.org, josephshousetroy.org, and find out about the incredible work that they do there. Kevin O'Connor is the executive director, and, you know, I've talked to people, and I have not, there's no one in this community who has a bad word to say about you.
That's
you're
nice.
Just you do really great work, and we congratulate you on the wonderful work that you do, and thank you for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you for this great opportunity.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Joseph's House of josephshousetroy.org for more information. You can also find the link on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. Falling into Place, supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. Seymour Possibilities, Seymour Promise, Seymour Progress.